a late morning show. Really, sort of a combination morning-midday show. We're here till noon, and Mike North will be in at noon, of course, on the new hours of The Score. I'm loath to call it just a morning show, because we're more than mornings. We're going to be with you till noon.
We don't need to call it anything. All we have to call it is Dan Bernstein and Terry Bors, as produced by Matt Fishman and Jonathan Hood. Carphone Dave.
I got to tell you, Ron Gleason putting you guys together proves once again that even a blind squirrel trips on a nut once in a while.
Ooh.
In this case, two nuts.
It was his own, yeah.
You know, the blind squirrel finds a nut, right? Doesn't trip on a nut. Does he?
If you were a blind squirrel, he would just trip over everything.
I remember doing the research on this at some point for some reason, that the blind squirrel actually has some success just using their damn nose. Just use your nose and you can smell the nut. If you're really looking around, like, sight is not a big factor in the squirrel's ability to find the nut.
You know, the key for any great squirrel is to hide your nuts so that you have them all winter long.
Uh-huh.
It's all that matters.
Yeah.
You got to get through it.
But finding them is the thing. And there might be nothing I like more than dissecting a common phrase that we all just take for granted. Like, oh, that's okay. Sure, we could just say that, it's fine, and then you spend your time on the airwaves dissecting such things.
We could spend all day talking about phrases nobody should ever use again. The fact of the matter is, you shouldn't say the fact of the matter is.
You shouldn't, right? My favorite malaprop that I've ever uttered, and there's been a bunch of them, of course, is I told Mac one time, I said, wow, you really opened a can of wax with that one.
Oh, nice.
So you opened a can of worms. And I'm not sure where the can of worms would come from to begin with.
Unless they were made of wax.
It's true.
Yeah.
And then the ball of wax, like it's the whole ball of wax or something like that. But the idea of a can of wax is like, first of all, where'd you get the wax? You were burning a candle or several of them. Then you poured all the wax into a can. Then you closed it. You put a lid on it, Kevin.
I have cans of hair wax, you know, like hair products.
Sure.
And waxes and pastes and pomades and what have you. Uh-huh. So maybe we could make it work.
Poetic?
Yes, as you do often on pregame and postgame for the Chicago Bears on our sister station, WBBM. Ron Gleason here with me, Matt Spiegel, as we are in for Mully and Haw. You know, it's funny, we had a conversation earlier with Tom Scher, and I was thinking more about that as the show has gone on, about the relationship between this radio station and the teams. And now, of course, 670 The Score, you're home for the Chicago Cubs. It was home for the White Sox. It is now home for the Cubs and home for the Chicago Bulls. At the beginning, there were no teams.
Zero.
And was it launched with that in mind? Was that intentional?
Yes.
Or was it happenstance?
Well, remember now, it was a daytime station, and there was
That's kind of an issue.
There was no thought really of going to full time when the station began. That we didn't know the station was going to get sold and there'd be other opportunities along the way.
Yeah.
So the idea was you had to have freedom. You didn't want to be beholden to the team. And I think what's happened over the years, things have morphed a little bit. So the teams now get it. They understand that you're going to give opinions. They understand that you're not going to be all rosy about everything that's going on with them, and they accept that. I can tell you, I mean, I've been doing the Bears pre- and postgame for 19 years and been in management at WBBM for 14 now,
mm-hmm.
and I've never once gotten a call from the team saying, you guys shouldn't have said that on the air. And it's not that we didn't say things that they wouldn't like. I mean, listen to any of the post games we did this year.
Yeah.
You know, you couldn't be on it. You have to be honest, right? You have to be on it. So that's never happened. So I think the teams get that now.
Mm-hmm.
But in the early stages, they didn't understand it because they had never experienced anything like it before. And so whether it was the Bears or the Cubs or whomever calling us to basically, what are you guys doing? I mean, that's what they would say.
Right.
What are you doing over there?
Uh-huh.
And
it's
we would explain what we were doing.
Yeah.
We're talking like it was about fans. And it was fans talking to fans. Took a lot of phone calls. And the idea was, it's like you're in a bar, but you're not drinking.
Mm-hmm.
And you're having a conversation with others about that team and what they really felt.
Now, except that some of the listeners were drinking, but never the hosts.
That's another story.
Yeah, never the hosts, as far as you know, Ron. You know, what's interesting, though, I get that at the beginning, and it's important to establish that, and that it is without outside the realm of the teams. At a certain point, though, and I kind of asked this to Cher, but I wonder what your thought. At a certain point, did the teams realize, okay, we need this. We need these guys.
It's
we're going
to
have to work
answer.
With these guys.
It's really hard to know the answer. I think they always felt they needed to work with us. Mm-hmm. I mean, the PR staffs, that's their job, right? To make sure that you relay what's needed. Can you get every guest? No. Look, when the score started back in 1992, there was a time, you know, I'd be on the air on the 670 frequency doing sports at 15 and 45. I could get Jerry Reinsdorf on the phone like that. I could snap my finger, make a phone call to his office directly, and you could get him on the air. Athletes were more available, more accessible. But what's happened over time, there's this station, there is a proliferation, I'll say it right, of sports stations all over the country that changed the tenor of what you could do and what you couldn't do because there was so much demand on everyone.
Yeah.
Example. We had in the early days, for the first few years, Doug Collins was one of our main contributors. He was, you know, former Bears coach Bulls coach at that time, and he wasn't that far removed. But he was a great commentator for TBS and TNT, and he would come on with us for 20-minute segments three, four times a week, pretty much with every show, talking about the rest of the NBA. Well, what they liked about that was they could say, well, I'm hired by the score to do this, so I can't talk to you, because they would get so many outlets trying to get them on the air, they were able then to say no. And they were able to get away with it in a way that they didn't come off as being, you know, mean or whatever, because they were hired to do a job for us.
You know,
they were great.
The relationship between teams and media, obviously, you know, dating back to the newspaper guys only, and when baseball was king, and them kind of, you know, being at each other's throats but having to work together, it stayed the same. It has stayed the same in that it's an opportunity to be an adult or not. If you will. Like, for instance, I remember so many times on the old Hit and Run when Rosner and I would work together, and we would talk about stuff. We'd talk about Jim Hendry, right? And go after Jim Hendry. Or on this station, people would go after Jim Hendry. And Rosner would tell me about times where he'd go to Wrigley and Hendry would be like, what the hell were you talking about? What were you doing that? Like, okay, all right, I understand now. All right, I'll see you later. Like, the openness to be able to have the conversation and say, And contradict each other and have some conflict with each other, but then be fine and go about your business.
I think that was the thing early on from the teams. Because some of our guys were in the field. Tom Scherer was in the field. Dan Jiggetts would be in the field. But the other guys weren't so much. And they were, and Terry Bors and Brian Handley obviously were as well. But others did not. Mike North was not a reporter. Thus, he was not going to games and meeting with management and meeting with players face-to-face. And so the number one complaint we got early from teams was,
your guys are not around.
They're not here. They don't know what they're talking about.
Sure.
But you know what? He was talking like a fan. And that's what fans were talking about. And that's what they cared about. And they didn't have that direct access either.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
No, they did not. So you were the conduit. These, you know, it's interesting. David Stern just passed away, and I was reading today, David Aldridge, the longtime NBA writer and reporter who worked at TNT and TBS for a long, long time. And he told the story about how you'd be in the office and David Stern would call you. And you would know by the phone number that, oh my God, David Stern is on the phone. And now that's not a team, obviously, but it's management. And he would talk to you, and he would start slowly going over what you had said. And then he would just eventually reach a point where he would scream at you and cuss at you and say things like, it's just a shame that the standards of TNT have fallen so low. Maybe if you'd bothered to get off your fat butt and actually call someone who knew what the F was going on, you wouldn't have gotten it so wrong.
Wow.
So I never realized David Stern would go after reporters like that, but he did. And yet he would still talk to you. He would still give you stuff. And he still knew that you had a job to do.
Look, we had writers who would say things about us in the newspaper about the score early on, and they were ripping the station. And I think they would do it for a couple of reasons. I think, one, they felt threatened. In all honesty, the style of reporting in the newspaper had to change with the time. Like right now, you pick up the newspaper, they don't do game stories anymore. It used to be of game stories. Now they do feature stories, advanced stories, and more opinion pieces.
Well, they're,
and that all changed.
Yeah, absolutely, because it used to be, obviously, that the radio, that talk radio would follow the newspapers thematically, and then it flipped. Didn't it? It flipped, and now it still is, of course, that, you know, the paper will reference, you know, a talk radio caller might say this. Like, it's become easy, simple code for an opinion that you can just say, oh, I heard this on talk radio.
Yeah, it really did change the dynamics. One other thing, too, from a personal perspective, you know, our guys on the air used to always rip me. They would rip everything, right? So they complained, and I would get calls from small business owners who would say, how can you allow your air people to say things like that? And I would say, number one, well, it's a show, right? Mm-hmm. But number two, everybody wants to be able to rip their boss. And so vicariously, people listening have an opportunity to hear that. So it never bothered me. Because I always felt it was part of the show. There was always a little bit of truth to whatever they were saying.
Yeah.
They were right.
Kidding on the square.
I was more right than they were, but they were right. But it's all part of it. It's part of the show and the presentation. Now I think things have evolved, and it's become much better, much stronger. Again, the association with the teams, and you got the Cubs here and the Bulls here, and that's all worked to a positive to help grow the radio station to be bigger, better, and stronger.
Mm-hmm. 670, the score is where you are. A lot of texts coming in from guys who've been around forever. Northbrook Bob, Ron and Matt, happy birthday from an old original scorehead. Nice to hear the stories again. And several other guys who've been around since day one. And then there's my favorite text, which is this one. Speaks, you're right, a squirrel smells a nut under 8 inches of snow and 4 inches of earth. I was told that at a DNR seminar by an officer of that park. So there you go. The squirrel, it's not like the nut is sitting right there on the top of the turf or the snow. And the squirrel's like, well, let me just look around. No, they're using their nose, their feet, their sensors. Sight is overrated in terms of squirrels finding nuts.
Squirrel Radio 670.
That's right. This is where you go. This is absolutely where you go.
You've always been too squirrely.
So what do you think? What do you think of me as an intern in 94, Ron?
I liked you in 94, but 95 not so much.
I understood. You know, I ended up there. You know, I ended up in your office. By the way, this is the happenstance of life. I was playing a gig with my band Brother that I had with my brother at the old Otis's, which was on Halstead near Webster. And I'm playing a gig and we're at the set break. And I'm out there, I'm talking to a guy and he's like, man, you guys are fun. You're fun to watch. What are you doing? Is this what you do? And I'm like, well, yeah, I went to college for sports, radio and TV, but I haven't done anything with it because I went to Emerson like Cher did, like Wayne Larrivee did. And that I graduated in 92. By 94, I was just, you know, playing music and just hanging out. I decided not to chase it down. And he said, really? Sports, radio, and TV, huh? He said, do you ever want to get back into it? I said, yeah, but I'm not sure how I would even at this point. I mean, look at me, you know, and what I'm doing. I'm in a different place. He said, if you want to intern somewhere, let me know. And he gave me his card, and that was Henry Henderson.
That's great.
Henry was at the show.
Loved Henry.
At a rock show.
Henry was one of our executive producers.
Yeah.
He was the second executive producer of the station. Abby Polonsky was the original executive producer.
Uh-huh.
And then we had Mike Alzamora.
Yeah. The little Al, the kiddie's pal.
Yep.
Who was my boss. And I learned how to do radio after Emerson, from Henry, from Mike Alzamora, from Matt Fishman, from guys like that. But yeah, so I sat there in Henry's office and he talked to me and I began an internship, and that was 1994 at this very station. Isn't
you know,
that crazy?
One guy that we haven't mentioned, Mike Greenberg.
Right.
So Mike Greenberg originally started as a producer at the station. Then we put him out to report every now and again, and he was covering the Bears on a daily basis and did a tremendous job until he decided ESPN News was just starting and they were looking for the next thing. And
sure, he was a CLTV guy for a while.
Right, he did some CLTV as well. A station in Minneapolis tried to hire him away. He thought he'd have a better chance to go to TV. We said, no, don't do that. It's not true. He stuck around a while, worked out very well for him, needless to say.
Yeah.
He's done exceptionally well in his career.
Yeah, no, I produced a couple of shows with Mike Greenberg. I think it was Greeny and Hanley at the time. I produced some weekend shows. Yeah, so it's crazy. And then later on, I had a run where I had three interns in a row. One was Dan Zampillo, one was Matt Abaticola, and one was Jeff Dickerson. Those were like three guys that I trained three in a row. It's like the number of people, the volume of people who've come through this radio station is pretty amazing. All right, well, folks, thanks for listening to this. You only get a chance to celebrate your 28th anniversary once.
I feel like I've been doing it like five or six times this morning.
Well, I'll see you next year. It's 670 The Score is where you are. Ron Gleason, been a pleasure. We'll do Transition with Dan Bernstein and Connor McKnight next, right here on The Score.
When breaking sports news happens on The Score, it's brought to you by Quip. Go to getquip.com/2019 and get your first refill pack for free.
Did you know there are over 1,000 podcasts on radio.com? Download the app or head to radio.com to listen to all your favorite national and local podcasts, including your favorite morning shows and radio shows on demand. At the top of the app homepage, click the podcast icon to discover new shows, subscribe, and manage your podcast subscriptions. Go to your app store or radio.com/download for all your podcast listening. Radio.com.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Listen to Lawrence Holmes at his new time, weekdays noon to 2 on The Score.
I appreciate what Gruden did. Let's be as real as we can be about this. The guy that we made fun of all summer long, that he was the national joke in the NFL community, he outcoached Matt Nagy.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com on radio.com sports station.
Hey, Scoreheads, big news. Now you can pause and rewind live Score Radio on the radio.com app.
Just download the latest radio.com app update and enjoy pausing and rewinding the Score live.
You can catch all the stupid stuff we say. And for the first time ever in local broadcast radio, enjoy your favorite Score shows on demand and on the go.
It's fast and easy DVR-style controls for live radio. Update your radio.com app now to get in on this hot new technology.
Download the radio.com app update now to pause and rewind live Score Radio.
You're listening to The Score through the power of Radio.com Sports.
Radio.com Sports. Stream The Score and all of your favorite sports stations. And it's so easy to download.
Keep listening for the best experts in sports. Tons of original sports content. Podcast Score and all your favorite sports stations.
Radio.com Sports. It's easy and it's free.
This is Radio.com Sports.
Thanks for streaming The Score.
McNeil and Parkins. Afternoons 2 to 6 on The Score.
The White Sox signing all-star catcher Yasmani Grandal to a four-year, $73 million deal. And the television analyst for the White Sox, Steve Stone, kind enough to join us now. What do you think of the move?
I really like it. That was one of the needs that I thought the Sox had when they ended last year. The guys that make the contact, put the pressure on the defense, those are the teams that were playing in the World Series. And I think with Grandal, you got a guy who will take a base on balls, will put the bat on the ball, and he gives them a switch hitter, but certainly a guy from the left side that can hit the ball out of the ballpark. I think because of the flexibility of Grandal, he's going to be able to keep that left-hand bat in the lineup, especially against right-handed starters. Whether it's first base, designated hitter, behind the plate, you're going to see his left-handed bat quite a bit.
Listen to McNeil and Parkins on your ride home 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
It all starts with just one thing. This year, resolve to use less gas. You can carpool to work a few days a week, walk any distance under a mile, and consider an electric vehicle for your next car. Find tips and more at onethingus.com. What's your one thing?
Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Bernstein and McKnight, 9 a.m. to noon on The Score.
The Bears, you know what they are? Right now, they're a blob team.
Oh, they're absolutely. Oh, are you kidding?
They're an absolute NFL blob.
They are firmly ensconced, warmly caressed by the blob. They are right there in that blob. I trust that defense to play about as well as it has for the bulk of this season. I don't trust it to get blown out by the Raiders again and again and again.
I'd trust it a lot more if I knew what the middle linebacker was doing.
That would help some. That would help. I don't know that you have the kind of solutions available to you that they obviously found last season at 3-3 to get themselves to 12-4. I mean, you're 3-2 in a blob and hoping for things, not relying on enough.
Yeah, you don't have an identity.
there isn't something you can say, here's what we do.
Listen to Bernstein and McKnight, 9 to noon, on Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station.
Join Northwestern basketball at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season. Home opponents include Nebraska, Iowa, Ohio State, Michigan, and Purdue. Single-game tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team are on sale now at NUSports.com.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, this is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. Sports Radio 670 The Score. Our radio.com sports station. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. The
Score! Good sports to you.
That was the best. I forgot that that was Tom Scher's sign-on. Good morning and good sports to you. And how I didn't use that today, and how I don't use that any day that I ever get to say the first words on a microphone in the morning is beyond me. I think I have to transition to that immediately.
Good sports to you.
What the hell does that even mean? Ron Gleason, this has been a pleasure.
It's better than bad sports to you.
I agree.